Hey, who's sitting around your table in your living room? Is it just you? Do you have a couple of folks with you? Let us know. Type it in the comments. Let us know who is with you today. You're probably wondering, who is with me today? Well, I have a familiar crew to you. I have King up in the sound booth taking care of things. I have Brent, who's going to lead us in worship, in song. We have Chelsea. We have Cora, who is going to light a candle and read scripture to us in a little while. You've noticed we have scooted things over to the right a little bit. I am still playing around with the lighting a bit. I think this TV is playing with that a little bit. So I will mess around with that some this week and see if I can get that a little bit better. But we got some new backgrounds behind us. These are the banners that are constantly praying over us. The spirit of the prayers, that is. We have solitude, knowing that you are loved by God, and community. We grow in love for each other, and in ministry, we show Christ's love to the world. Well, this morning, we will have communion as usual, so grab your supplies. If you have bread, if you have juice, wine, water, whatever you have is just fine. We'll also have a time to give. We'll talk about our offering. In a moment, I will read our psalm for the day, and Cora is going to come and light our Christ candle first. Then I will come back up and read. Let's do that now. Our psalm for the day comes from Psalm 139. It goes like this. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or when I stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and you follow me. You place your hand of blessing upon my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. You are the one who put me together inside my mother's body, and I praise you because of the wonderful way you have created me. Everything you do is marvelous. Of this, I have no doubt. Let's worship in song together.
Good morning, church. Today we're going to sing Speak, O Lord, followed by As the Deer. Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness, that the light of Christ may be seen today in our acts of love and our deeds of faith. Speak, O Lord, and fulfill in us all your purposes for your glory. Teach us, Lord, full obedience, holy reverence, true humility. Test our thoughts and our attitudes in the radiance of your purity. Cause our faith to rise, cause our eyes to see your majestic love and authority. Words of power that can never fail, let their truth prevail over unbelief. Speak, O Lord, and renew our minds. Help us grasp the heights of your plans for us. Truths unchanged from the dawn of time that will echo down through eternity, and by grace we'll stand on your promises, and by faith we'll walk as you walk with us. Speak, O Lord, till your church is built and the earth is filled with your glory. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. I love you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.
Thanks, Brent. I asked him to sing Speak, O Lord, and he came up with the second song as the deer. And that was perfect for this morning. Thanks. Thanks for that. Okay, Roots kids, you should have in your possession today's Leaves bulletin. This is for you. We've read Psalm 139, which is an excellent psalm for children, for all people, for all adults too, but especially for children. On the back, there are a couple of activities for you that you can work through during my sermon, including drawing the scene that Cora is about to come and read to you. So thanks again for your presence. We appreciate you, and as always, so thanks. Okay, Cora is going to come and read the first part of our text for today, and then I will come back up and continue.
Now the boy Samuel was serving the Lord under Eli. The Lord's word was rare at that time, and visions weren't widely known. One day Eli, whose eyes had grown so weak he was unable to see, was lying down in his room. God's lamp hadn't gone out yet, and Samuel was lying down in the Lord's temple. The Lord called to Samuel. "Here I am," he said.
Let's pray together. O God, by your power and by your goodness of the Holy Spirit, pour forth through me the gift of preaching. Give us ears to hear this day. It's through Christ we pray. Amen. here on the second Sunday after the Magi's Epiphany that the divine presence of God is really among us, I want to begin with a written prayer by Walter Brueggemann. Walter is one of my favorite writers and teachers. He's also a beautiful poet. This is a poem prayer that he wrote at the beginning of the Epiphany season in 1997. It's called, "There is a time to be born, and it is now." There is a time to be born and a time to die, and this is a time to be born. So we turn to you, God of our life, God of all our years, God of our beginning. Our times are in your hands. Hear us as we pray. For those of us too much into obedience, birth us to the freedom of the gospel. For those of us too much into self-indulgence, birth us to discipleship in your ministry. For those of us too much into cynicism, birth us into the innocence of the Christ child. For those of us too much into cowardice, birth us to the courage to stand before principalities and powers. For those of us too much into guilt, birth us into freedom worked in your generosity. For those of us too much into despair, birth us into the promises you make to your people. For those of us too much into control, birth us into the vulnerability of the cross. For those of us too much into victimization, birth us into the power of Easter. For those of us too much into fatigue, birth us into the energy of Pentecost. We dare pray that you will do for us and among us and through us what is needful for newness. Give us the power to be receptive, to take the newness you give, to move from womb warmth to real life. We make this prayer not only for ourselves, but for our school at the brink of birth, for the church at the edge of life, for our city waiting for newness, for your whole creation with which we yearn in eager longing. There is a time to be born, and it is now. We sense the pangs and groans of your newness. Come here now in the name of Jesus. Amen. The richness and depths of Walter's prayer. We could spend our whole time this morning going through it, or a whole day, a whole week if we wanted. Maybe you can find the prayer online and print it off and let it illumine your soul like an ultraviolet light that scans your body of experience, unveiling in you something that you should probably pay attention to. It's the main thrust of the prayer, though, that we turn our hearts to today and for the next several weeks of Epiphany. There is a time to be born and a time to die. And this is a time to be born. If you heard Steve Sanifer preach 2 weeks ago, then you know he spoke from Ecclesiastes and the famous text, which includes the line, "There is a time to be born and a time to die." Epiphany, according to Brueggemann, is a time to be born. With the Christ child from Christmas Day not even 1 month old yet, most of us have already moved on from that squirming baby, no longer wrapped up in ribbon and bows. We're not worried about sleepless nights or feeding him every 2 hours on the hour. But I think about our sister Jackie Graham, who at this point is 6 going on 7 months into a 9-month pregnancy. Congratulations, Jackie. 2/3 of the way to blessing the world with another child, She is no doubt feeling the kicks and punches inside her womb. That remarkable combination of discomfort and amazement. Birth is very much on Jackie's mind. Can it be on ours too? Can we be mindful of what God is laboring into the world? Can we see the pangs and groans of the earth? Can we sense the viability of the Spirit's promised newness? With change and decay and all around we see, as one of our greatest hymns intones over us, I'll be the first to admit the challenge of that promised newness given the front page headlines. But that is what Epiphany is asking us of us, to imagine, to believe, indeed to trust that God's womb is still very much alive, that now is the time to be born. In our text for this morning, what Cora just read to us, new birth is happening. Hannah, a few years prior, begged and pleaded with God for a baby. God heard her, and now the young Samuel, the miracle child, is an apprentice at the temple. He works for old man Eli, that sizable priest with worsening eyesight and wayward sons. The familiar narrative from 1 Samuel chapter 3 is known and loved and is often recited as a model for the practice of prayer. It is that. It is also a comedy. When Cora asked me last Monday what I was preaching about this week, I told the story as theatrically as I could about the boy Samuel whom God kept waking up in the middle of the night. Samuel, God would say, and Samuel, thinking it was Eli, called for him, that it was Eli who called for him, would run into Eli's bedroom and would wake Eli up with a, "Here I am," and Eli, half asleep, would look at the clock on his nightstand and say, "Samuel, it's 2 a.m, go back to sleep." Then God calls Samuel a second time, and Samuel would run to Eli and say, "Here I am," and Eli, who had just drifted off again, yells out, "Samuel, go to sleep," and throws a pillow over his head. A third time, God calls to Samuel, and Samuel would run to Eli, "Here I am." By this point, Cora is laughing, mostly because she and I have played this game before, like when she calls out for a drink of water long after she should have been asleep. The third time Samuel comes in, though, Eli wakes from his confusion and realizes what is happening. "Samuel, go lie down. And if he calls to you again, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" Eli, it turns out, is not so old and so distracted that he cannot recognize when a holy voice breaks in on where it is not expected. Even though the voice of God was rare in those days and visions uncommon, Eli the priest knows that God still speaks. The fourth time that God calls out Samuel's name, Samuel is ready to listen. "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." It's here that the story moves from comedy to tragedy. Samuel's "Speak, Lord," does not bring a word of good news that one might hope for when they enter into prayer. In fact, it's the opposite of good news, for Eli at least. His priesthood status will end, his wicked sons will perish, and no sacrifice can be made that will atone for their sin. That is what God tells Samuel. That's the message spoken on the temple floor to a boy, innocent and harmless. No wonder he cannot fall back asleep He's terrified to utter anything to anyone. In the morning, though, under an oath of threat, Eli makes Samuel tell him the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help him God. The child recounts everything to the aged man from the beginning to the end, and a noticeable shift occurs between the two. Eli the older confesses to Samuel the younger, like a congregant to a pastor, like a parishioner to a priest. He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes. And what is good in the Lord's eyes, we read, is that God is with Samuel. Of all the things that we can zoom in on this remarkable story, Eli's failures, his son's corruption, Samuel's example of how to pray, what we might want to zoom out on during Epiphany is the larger theme. That there is a new possibility for Israel and her people. There is a possibility for something new here, and that possibility stems from Samuel's mom, who prayed and then gave, from Samuel and his listening ears, from Eli and his concession speech, and especially from God and God's determination to bring about newness. If you know the rest of Israel's story, then you know all about the fits and the starts and the repeated fiascos of the nation and the leaders. But not yet, not here. God is dead set on bringing about newness in Samuel's time, forming and shaping an alternative community that looks and acts and smells and touches and hears like God. For the church that believes in Jesus and wants to follow him, part of our discipleship task, or perhaps all of it, is to believe in God's newness. That doing church is more than rearranging deck chairs into different patterns to make things appear lively and fresh. If we in the church, or if I, as a minister, become managers of faith instead of pursuers of God, what we end up with are leaders like Eli who cannot possibly imagine any actual sort of newness. What we end up with are sons like Eli's who, without the capacity to dream, steal what is not theirs to take. In Eli's day, the voice of the Lord was rare and visions were uncommon. Make comparisons to our own day if you wish, but here's what I hope. That the lamp of God still has not yet been extinguished. That the light of God that draws all people in has not yet been snuffed out. What we need are some Hannahs who will bravely pray for children of all sorts. Can that be you? What we need are some Samuels who will keep barging in and say, "Here I am." Can that be you? What we need are some Elis who in sudden epiphanies will let go of what used to be. Can that be you? These are hard tasks, and I confess I don't even fully know what they mean for us as a congregation. But I want to think about it aloud with you over the next several weeks during our Facebook Live services, if that's okay. I do know, however, that there is a time to be born and there is a time to die. And I think that I am ready to believe that this is a time to be born. A newness kicking its way into the world. Call it naivete, call it optimism, call it fantasy even. But given our last 12 months, here's what I'm curious about. What is the new that is coming after the pain and loss? And how can I and we follow Jesus on the way? I can tell you that these are the kind of questions our shepherds have been asking themselves recently. So where do we even start? Eli's directive seems like a good place to begin. Go and lie down. And if the voice calls again, say, "Speak, Lord. I am your servant, ready to listen." Who knows what kind of word will come? Who knows if any word will come at all? What if it's a word we really don't want to hear? But as a people of faith who can only speak because we have been spoken to, we wait, we listen, we pray. Have your way with us, God. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And together we say or type, Amen. One way God speaks to us is during our continual approach to the table, sharing the bread, sharing the cup. Jesus meets us here in the breaking of the bread and the pouring of the cup, reminding us that He is in us and we are in Him. So I want to invite you to take a few moments to eat and drink with one another at this time. Let's do that now.
We cry out, we cry out.
Be praised today.
remind you about our offering, our giving. So many of you continue to give your financial contributions to the work that goes on here. So thank you for doing that. As always, you can give online, you can bring it to the church building, you can drop it in the mail and we'll take care of it any way you give it. All right, a couple of family matters to you, and let me start with just reminding you that tomorrow is Martin Luther King Jr. Day in our country. Of all the things that Dr. King is known for, his calls for justice, his marches in Selma, his speeches in D.C., he was also a preacher. He loved Jesus. He loved the church. I want to invite you to do something tomorrow, therefore. Instead of just glancing over your Facebook post when people edit, copy, paste famous quotes and lines from Dr. King, I'm going to ask you to track down a whole sermon, read it all, or find one on YouTube and listen to it. Search for his letter from a Birmingham jail and read it. Spend some time with it. A few days ago, Cynthia Bird asked me to reread the letter, and that's what I plan on doing tomorrow. Maybe you can join me. From Dr. King, and because of the Holy Spirit, open yourself up to God and see what might be there for you. Okay, our Thursday Bible class started this last Thursday, and it will continue on throughout the semester. If you want to be a part of that, just contact King, and he will send you the Zoom email, the Zoom link to be a part of that. That's Thursdays at 10:30 a.m. One more announcement, and then Chelsea will come and send us out in benediction. Last week, I mentioned briefly the Super Bowl of Caring. This is when our area congregations and synagogues take up an offering on behalf of our local food pantry. That would be Braze Interfaith Ministry, BIM. We always take it up on the day where the National Football League plays the Super Bowl. And that is February 7th, I believe, this year. Any time between now and February 7th, if you want to give to Super Bowl of Caring, just make a note. If you give online, make a note on your check, or if you give cash, and we'll make sure that gets to where it needs to go. We'll talk about that the next few weeks here on Facebook Live and in our newsletters. Okay, that's what I got. Thanks for being with us today. I appreciate you.
Good morning, church. Some statements that I lifted that I heard Steve talk about, ones that I thought were bold and brave. I want to read those over you today. Have your way with us. I am here. I am listening. I think it's a brave statement to say, speak, Lord. I was thinking of some very tangible ways that we can do that this next week. I don't know about you, but sometimes, even in the pandemic, I make myself busy. I fill my brain, my ears, my eyes with things that take away from being silent, take away from being still. And so maybe it'd be a good time to sit and contemplate this week. What are some ways that I can still myself before the Lord so I can hear Him speak? That may cause a little bit anxiety, uncertainty. And so maybe you just start with 1 or 2 minutes of sitting in silence, letting God, giving God space to be able to speak, His voice heard for you. I like the way that Steve ended his time talking about MLK Jr. and maybe hearing God speak through those words. Maybe opening up poetry, hearing God speak through those words. Going into the Psalms, hearing God speak through those words, or simply just sitting still with hearts and hands open. And so may we be bold, may we be open, may we keep an open mind, open hearts, open soul to God as we step into this new week. You are loved. Bye, friends.